And we're here for another Divorce Not an Option, the podcast where we talk about marriage and relationships with our 22 years experience. So, baby, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, so today I thought we'll kind of delve into the politics of religion. So basically religion and marriage. And religion and relationships.
Oh, wow. You know, that's a deep one because
I think I spoke
about the other podcast. I had an ex and her family, her mother was Spanish and her father was Vietnamese or something like that. And, you know, it was funny. I didn't dive into it as much the last time we talked about politics, but religion now, you know, when I went to the house, right, I saw Buddha stuff. I saw Christianity stuff. All over the house. And I was so confused on how, you know, contracting religions like that, you know, because there's a lot of contradictions in both of them, you know, to each other. How could they survive? For they had like three kids, and, you know, and they were married for like 20 plus years, a long time. And I asked them, how can you survive that? You know, and they said, with love. You know, her beliefs are not my beliefs as far as certain things and things that we don't agree on. We compromise or we, you know, but our love is not stronger than the belief, meaning that it didn't deter them from not being together because they love each other so much. So that was a very interesting point in my life to understand that. And I think it's easy. You know, religion is very touchy. Because religion, unlike politics and other things, religion you are born with most of the time. You know, you are raised within this organization of beliefs and morals. You know, religion shapes morals and on the person you are. You know, I know me, I wasn't really raised in a religious household. You know, we were Christian, but we weren't practicing, you know, didn't go to church every Sunday where you, you know, you went to church. You know, just tell, you know, just talk about your,
I mean, I grew up Pentecostal. So, you know, we went to church and if you're a Pentecostal, you know, we didn't go to church just only on Sunday. We went to church Monday through Sunday. I mean, we were there 24/7. Okay. It was school and then church. So Monday was a prayer service at someone's house, whoever house it was, you are going to that person's house to pray and have service for them, whether it was they were sick, whatever their situation may be. Tuesday was the men's service. That again, men meet together at church, they have service and, you know, you're still there. Wednesday was the youth service. So, you know, again, more church. Thursday was the ladies' service. Then Friday, we had a midnight service. So that means that, you know, you
no
went
clubbing.
To church. Yeah, there was, yeah, I mean, none of that. So you went, it was like, I think started at 9 o'clock till it was past 12. Most of the time I would be asleep. I ain't gonna lie. All these services, I'll be asleep. Okay. My mom used to sit here and throw things at me. I mean, I was, yeah. I had enough. Saturday was youth practice, you know, different practice. If you're in a choir practice, we had choir, long choir practice for Saturday. It was just all these functions and stuff that we had. And then Sunday, getting ready for Sunday morning service. Then we didn't have just one service. We also had an evening service. And then before the evening service, you had youth meeting if you were part of youth. You had to go to youth meeting, which was, so that means it was at 5 o'clock, right? So church would end like around 2 o'clock. So by the time you get home, you ain't just eat, right? Then get back to youth service an hour or 2 hours later. And at 7 p.m., it was the night service. And so, and you'll do this every day. And so, yeah, for my, you know, mostly majority of my life. That's what it was.
Yeah. And it shapes you because I could honestly admit that a lot of things that Marie, my wife, has come with, you know, in our relationship have been from that, you know, from the religious background. I mean, her brother right now is a head of a church.
Yes, the
in
Ark.
Her
Shout
hometown.
Out to the Ark Church in Palm Beach.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you know, a lot of her morals and things that she has brought to our marriage that have been great have been from her church background. So her religious background. So, you know, it does shape who you are. But what happens when you have two conflicting ideas morally? Mm-hmm. And that, I think that's when the dilemma and the problems come in marriage. Now, I could honestly say I don't think we've had that many, just because I didn't have such a background in the church. A lot of my views were anti-church. Not because, you know, I think God is wrong.
He was not an atheist.
I'm not an atheist, people. But I just didn't believe in the structure, mm-hmm. the organizational structure of church. My views have always been that it's corrupt. Not that the ideal is corrupt. Just church itself is corrupt.
Yeah, you're talking about, yeah.
I know, just happened, Marvin Sapp, a huge figure in the religious sector.
Yeah, it's a gospel, you know,
gospel singer, saying, right? Huge, whatever.
And
he actually locked the doors of his church and said, we're not leaving until we get $40,000 from everybody. Everybody has to donate money. And you know, all these corruption in churches. So it turned it, and it always goes on. It's not like it was like a time in history where, you know, church was corrupted and it got cleaned up.
Church has always
it's
been
always corrupted.
I mean, a lot of our wars, a lot of our, you know, fighting and just, it's always about religion. I mean, you know, talking about the wars in Israel and overseas and Pakistan. I mean, it's long rooted.
Yeah. So, you know, so for me, that was my thing. But I do appreciate, and as a husband, coming to imagine with a marriage with a woman that her family is very, very deep in religion. You know, like I said, her brother is a pastor. You know what I mean? Her father was devoted to the church. You know, I had to make some compromises in my views to understand things. You know, one thing I could definitely say that is highly appreciated is the appreciation and closeness of family. Mm-hmm. I think coming from my background where my family wasn't as tight like that, you know, coming into a marriage with a woman that has a big family and is religious based with that family, that unit, definitely brought a lot to the table with our marriage. I think what's great about us and marriage in general is bring in the things that are good for y'all, mm-hmm. take out the things that are bad.
Yep.
Like the bad things for me, and I'll let you talk after this, so if you agree. And the bad things is the judgment, being very judgmental and opinionated to others that don't view it as yours. I think that's something that's very negative inside the church system. Whereas if you don't believe what I believe, you're going to hell, mm-hmm. or you're a heathen or you're evil. And I think we've kept those ideas out of our marriage. But what is your ideas of religion and marriage and things like that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I do agree with you. There are, you know, there's good and bad in everything, right? And I will say most couples actually will tend to avoid talking about religion because...
Oh, really?
And based on Pew Research, most couples will talk about politics before they even talk about religion.
Really?
Yes, they avoid religion as much as they can.
Oh, wow.
And it's you know, an eye-opener, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I mean, because at the end of the day, like, you know, it's going to be kind of hard to be married, mm-hmm. to your Christian and married to an atheist.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? Very hard.
It's going to be difficult because, see, unlike politics, mm-hmm. religion is your moral base.
Yes, that's your fundamental.
Religion is your fundamentals and where you get all beliefs. And let's be honest, human history, we get our rules, our morals, our direction from religion. So it's very difficult. Like, politics is one thing, mm-hmm. but religion is very hard to be divided in the house. Now, for the example of my ex and her family, you know, they were able to overcome those mm-hmm. difficulties with respect and love.
Yes.
But most people aren't, because mm-hmm. and correct me if I'm wrong here, the ideal of religion really is we're right, mm-hmm. you're wrong. I don't really see too many religions, the denominations of religions, mm-hmm. preaching, yes, our way is the best way, but you can live any way you want and we'll still love you, mm-hmm. and respect you. I don't really hear that kind of doctrine out
there.
Yeah,
and I mean, and you're right. And I think that's where, well, you may get that in your what's called non-denomination churches. Mm. So they're not affiliated with any type of, you know, they're not, you know, Protestant.
But that's
they're
Christian, not Catholic. Though. Aren't they Christian? It, like it non-denomination?
They are Christian.
So aren't they, is that, it's saying, and, aren't they saying in general, we follow the King James Bible?
They,
so
no, they're a little bit more liberal, though. That's the thing. They're a little bit more liberal. Like back then, you couldn't wear, okay, if you were a Pentecostal, you couldn't wear pants to church. You know, there was that whole, and we can even go deeper. Like some of them, you know, are very backwards, what I call it, religious beliefs where you cannot wear, women cannot wear makeup. Mm. You cannot wear weave. You know, you have to, you know, when you sit in church and prayer, you better put that little, you know, thing on top of your head, a little cover up for your head while you're, you know, in church and everything. And I didn't grow up that way. I mean, the only thing that, you know, most likely you were forbidden for wearing pants, but women, they wore pants. They didn't care, but there was no such thing as, you know, you cannot wear, you know, makeup. No, we were able to do all of that. But there are some of those
really strict
Pentecostals that you cannot have anything. And then you got Baptists too, you know, some of them, I mean, you can't even have music. It's very, very strict depending on the religion. But then you have the non-denomination. Yes, it's Christian-based values. However, it's a little bit more less, you know.
But when it comes to marriage, I think that the problem is that religion tends to dictate your marriage and who you marry. And I think the only problem is that when you get with somebody and your spirits may connect, but, you know, your ideas of religion don't. I think a lot of times we miss out on something that could be really good because we let the religion aspects of our lives take over all the aspects. And when you're married as well, you know, a lot of people have broken up because maybe somebody's ideas have changed or they are they drift away from the ideas of the religion. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a bad thing because you shouldn't let anything come before your marriage. Even religion says that, you know, except for God. I know God, man, yes. Woman, children. Mm-hmm. That's how it's supposed to go. But I think when you take that as literally, meaning that there's no compromise in your marriage, there is no type of wiggle room because if you don't see it exactly this way, then we don't have a marriage. And I think that's problematic because if your marriage don't have flexibility in beliefs or allow for growth and understanding, then you're back to you're going to have a doomed marriage because we've been together since we were in our early 20s, right? We're in our now. And
I'm ageless. Okay.
I am dating a vampire. So, yes. I'm against my religion beliefs in the undead.
Yes.
Anyway, so, you know, we've been together through 3 decades of our lives together. And, you know, the person you was and I was, our beliefs, our views, everything were totally different than they are today.
They evolved.
So I'm not saying you can't evolve or not evolve, but I'm saying that over time, you know, the person you are in your 20s is not going to have the same views of life in general in your 40s. And if you're married from that age on, you have to allow growth and understanding of that growth. And you must grow together. A lot of times I feel as if we raised each other, you know, because we met, I was fresh out of college. You was still in college. I mean, you know, we were a few years away from living with our parents and stuff. You know what I mean? Then we move in together. We, you know, and we were discovering
the
life.
The religion way.
You know what? Let's not talk about that. Okay. Anyway. So we grew up together. You know what I'm saying? We experienced adulthood together because I don't even count college as adulthood. I count college as fun times and just exploring crazy.
You're a young adult, you know?
Yeah, but when you are out of college and you have a regular job and now life be life in at that time. And we were together during that process. You know, there wasn't a time we were together where we were life in without each other. I think I lived by myself after college for 6 months before I met you, maybe if that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we grew up together. But if we haven't allowed, if we didn't allow ourselves to grow with all our ideas, then we wouldn't have made it.
Right.
And now I don't mean growth as, let's not be extreme. I don't think, you know, oh, we were Christians.
We're talking about evil.
And then all of a sudden you become an atheist and you're like, you know, I think that's extreme. I'm just talking about ideas, because just as in politics, your favorite politician doesn't do everything you like. All their policies you may not agree with. I think the same thing with religion. If you're so stuck on that, everything in the book is literal fact, and that any deviation from that is evil, or any growth in that is evil, and your person doesn't see it exactly that way and you leave them, I don't think religion is the problem. I think you're allowing yourself to be brainwashed by something that's going to have you turn on somebody you love. Now, I'm not talking about if you discover that they're like, oh, I like little girls now. I want to kill people. I want to rape. I mean, I'm not talking about shit, because, you know, people come in the comments with extreme stuff.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? And that's not what we mean. I'm not talking about extreme stuff, but I'm talking about they may not believe in going to church every Sunday. You know, I don't want to go to church every Sunday. I'm not anti-LGBTQ community. Let them live the way they want to live. Look, things like that. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, you know, it's not really affecting you and them in a sense. It's like, hey, you know, you have to allow that growth. But the problem with religion is that, to me, it doesn't allow that growth.
Well, I think it depending on that type of religion. But to bring it back to religion and relationship, I will say most people marry their own kind as far as, you know, their own religion. I mean, based on research, 44% of, you know, married couples marry the same religion.
But that means most people don't then.
Well, no, I'm going to get into it.
Okay.
So 44%, you know, marry the same. So if you're a Protestant, you're marrying the Protestant. If you're a Catholic, you're marrying Catholic. Mm-hmm. You know, that's about 44% of that, you know, same belief system, same religion. Now, there is 78%, right, that believe in one religion and the other one believe in another. So again, that's a large number.
Oh,
right?
Wow. That's
so
huge.
78% out there. So you may be a Catholic and I may be a Pentecostal.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and we're together, you know. So, I mean, there is that. Now, 62% do have, you know, the differences and such. And then you do have, you know, people that don't have any religion. So you have 62% who believe in one religion and the other one does not affiliate with any religious at all. You know, so it's out there. It's not that it doesn't exist. It's out there. So, you know, so you may be, you know, Catholic and I don't affiliate with any religion. And we're together. And then you got 36% that nobody is affiliated with any religion.
Well, it seems as if, you know, that marriages are, I think this, you know, when you get into numbers, you know, it's double-edged swords with numbers. Like, on one hand, you could say 70% of marriages, right? 78% of marriages, people marry and they're not in the same religion, which is cool. But then you got to say that over 50% of marriages fail. So, so it's one of those things is like, yeah, most of them aren't related, but 50 of them fail. So what is the reason? So, I mean, you could keep going down that rabbit hole, but I think overall it's good to know, those numbers, right? Were those, I'm sure, over, and like I said, I don't know if you have those numbers, but I'm sure those numbers have risen over time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, those are, you know, they have risen, but those are the latest numbers. But
so,
of course.
So this is my thing, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if the number of marriages that people are in the same religion has grown, but I'm sure the number of marriages that they are the same religion has shrunk.
Right.
Right? Because now it's 44%.
Yes.
So, and then correlation to that, more than 50% of marriages and in marriage, which I've been on the uprise.
And in divorce.
In divorce. Mm-hmm. So we could say strongly, to be honest, that it's, you know, the more that people have freedom in their ideas contrasting in marriage, the more the chances of divorce happening.
Well, I mean, because most, you know, I would say most people, you know, large percentage out there believe that having the same values do have a successful, you know, will lead to a successful relationship. I mean, successful marriage.
Because if you look at it like this, right?
You should have the same values, in my opinion.
You know, marriage is based from religion.
Yes.
Right? Marriage is, you know, our vows as well as stuff is from, you know, from religion.
Yeah, if you got married.
And most marriages are breaking up because
different reasons.
Well, mostly is women not being happy. That's statistically true. That's not, I'm not even trying to make it up. Women, infidelity is money and not being happy.
Well, infidelity is in there too, yeah,
I know. But what I'm saying is, so there's an argument. Mm-hmm. I'm saying there's an argument, not right or wrong, that the more you take religion out of marriage, the more the chance, that's why it's the decline of marriage.
Yes, I would have to agree with you on that because, you know, again, there has to be a foundation. Mm-hmm. And so if, you know, and again, when you do have a strong belief, and I'll just say in God, I'm not even going to say different religion, in God, right? Mm-hmm. When both parties believe there is something bigger out there than themselves, they tend, you know, to stay together, you know, longer because they tend to take their vows a little bit more serious. You know, tend to pray together. So when conflicts happen and, you know, and they tend to go back to their, you know, fundamental roots of religion. Okay, let's pray together. Let's go to God. You know, let's bring religion, you know, let's bring God into our marriage, into our entity, because they believe that God is the one that ordained their, and, you know, their marriage and everything. So it creates a stronger bond.
Yeah, and I do believe that it breeds you under some type of covenant where both of y'all are not the focus. It makes the overall marriage, because the idea is that you come together under the eyes, the guidance
of the Lord.
So now your marriage isn't about individual needs. Yes. It's about the needs that you came together to work together. Mm-hmm. So I think in that sense, it's a great idea. When two people are on the same level, religiously, not saying one religion is right or another. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. No. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it makes sense because now you have an idealistic view of your marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, even though I wasn't very religious, I still fall under the Christian category. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I believe in Christ and Jesus and stuff like that. So, and you know, she was Pentecostal, which still Christ, Jesus, but different rules and other things. But in general, we have the same idea, same of a God,
same concept,
that loves us and brought us together, you know. So in that sense, our marriage is very spiritual, not maybe religious wise as far as like a nomination, but very spiritual.
Yes.
We believe in the Lord, we believe in a higher power,
we pray together,
exactly,
our so kids.
It brings us together on that level. Now, I'm not saying that, and I don't think we're saying that our religion is correct for you. I'm saying
we're saying our beliefs.
We're saying our beliefs align with each other, which makes us communicate better and grow better together, compared to if we didn't have any foundation in beliefs.
Yeah.
Now it's an individual thing, you know, because if you look at the numbers, and if I'm wrong, people put it in the comments and stuff like
Please do.
But the more you take religion out of marriage, the more that people get divorced. And we seem to be under this idea now of this independence and everybody do what they want to do, sexual liberation, all that without any control. But morally and society wise, our society is going down. We have more crime. We have more sexual predators. We have more crazy ideas going out there. There's no basis. The more you take away religion, that was a base. Now, of course, I do believe that there's some things about religion that are bad to people that have taken advantage of that power and done evil things. So at the end of the day,
we're not debating
none of that stuff. But in general, the more you take God out of your marriage, the more you take that out, the more that other things come in and mess it up. Because I feel that, you know, just look at our society today. Look at marriage, you know what I'm saying? Today, it's in shambles. Relationships is shambles. Even in the Black community, you know, religion was something that was heavy in the Black community. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it's getting thrown out. You know what I mean? You know, these pastors are more corrupted, obviously corrupt now. Like before they were undercover corrupt.
They were undercover corrupt, you know.
Say, where, you know, but now they're obvious corrupt.
Now
you know
they're in your face.
Now they're in your face corrupt, you know, and people are not really following religion like that anymore.
They lost the trust.
Yeah. And look at how we are, especially in the Black community. Our relationships are failing because we have no foundation. Mm-hmm. Religion gave us a respect for each other. You know, a man's role, a woman's role come together. Religion did not say one was better than the other. Mm-hmm. It said we needed each other to make a whole. When you get married, you're becoming whole. Because a woman is what a man's missing and a man is what a woman is missing. And when we come together, we create things like life. We create family. Mm-hmm. We create societies. So it makes sense. Religion was the basis that we came in together. We served a higher power. Not saying that we were serving as in worshiping in a sense of like, you know, cult idealist.
Cult-like, cults out there.
But we were serving the idea of a higher power that helped us get together and to build this beautiful life together. And that idea alone, I think, helped us to forge better families. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. I hear people saying, oh, back in the days, all these simp guys and these crazy women saying, oh, you know, yeah, they said marriages was better back in the days, but, you know, you didn't know how grandma was suffering. She couldn't leave. She couldn't vote. She couldn't do none of that stuff. And you know what? I'm going to be completely honest. That's all complete bull. At the end of the day, abuse has existed all through history in marriages.
Yep.
Bad men, bad women, mm-hmm. cheating, all that has
that's
existed.
That's always been in existence. There.
It wasn't more than, it's always existed. So at the end of the day, every grandma wasn't being beat by granddad in the Black community. That wasn't even cool. And men held men accountable. Like if a man saw another man hitting a woman, he jumped in. It wasn't like, yo, hit her or nothing. Yo, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't that way in the Black community. Women weren't getting slapped around all the time or nothing like that. Please, we respected and protected our women. So all that bull people want to pull out there for clicks and media stuff is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Families were based in religion and God. They prayed together. They grew. Now, did they have their problems?
Of course.
Did they have their ups and downs?
Of course.
But it wasn't grandma getting beat by granddad because, you know what I'm saying, he was evil and she couldn't leave because she was a pathetic, helpless woman. No. You know what I'm saying? Did those things happen? Yeah.
Yes, it did.
It happened now. You know what I'm saying? With all this women movement and independent women right now getting abused and all that stuff. Are there men getting abused? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Men are getting abused by women now. So it's happening out there. But that wasn't the majority. And we have to stop doing that. So religion was good for marriage because it gave you a foundation. You came together on a foundation in loving the Lord and loving the opportunities that he gave of life and for you to meet and the opportunity for you to build something wonderful. So religion is a great thing when you see eye to eye. I'm not saying you have to be one religion or the other. So I'm not trying to debate which is better. No, I'm saying that when you come together with a religious belief that makes sense to both of y'all and you both come together under that, it makes for a better marriage.
And totally agree with that. You know, I mean, you know, when both parties are on the same page, you know, then again, when you start having children, you know, when you start building your family, that spills over that too, the foundation and what you're going to, you know, raise your kids as, right? All of that affects, I mean, all the decisions that we make goes back to our belief system and what we've, you know, fundamentally grew up with or what's been, you know, into our nudge into our brain and what we see, you know, our experiences and such. So, you know, if someone, again, we're not saying that, you know, religion is better than the other, none of that. We're just saying if two people, you know, come together and they're discussing their religious beliefs on whatever that religious belief is, that, you know, it does help your relationship rather than not having any type of foundation.
Yeah, I think in general, I think marriage only survives when you have a higher idea. Mm-hmm. Meaning, let's say you're not religious, right? Yeah. But you know what? Your idea is the marriage overall. Mm-hmm. What is best for our marriage is above our individual needs.
Right.
And that's what religion does. Religion, I believe, brings two people together under a belief, a higher idea, whether it's God or the universe, spiritual, whatever it is, Buddha,
whatever you believe,
whatever, it brings you together under a higher power. So it takes the focus off individual needs that a lot of times could be selfish, mm-hmm. but it brings it to what is best for both of us.
For the marriage.
You know, what is best for the marriage.
For our family.
Now, I'm not saying that your individual needs should be neglected.
No.
But when you get married, there's a reason why you become one, why they say to become one, because the one is an entity, and that entity has needs and things you need to do for that entity to survive.
For it to grow.
It's like when you get a business, it gets its own E&I number and things like that. It's its own entity. You have to do things for that to grow. Mm-hmm. It may be sometimes against your individual needs, but what's best for the business? Mm-hmm. Same thing with marriage. What's best for the marriage? Individually, I may not like it. Individually, it may not be cool for me, but if it's overall better for our marriage, cool. We do it with our kids all the time. If you have kids, you could definitely relate. How many things have you done for kids mm-hmm. that go against your moral judgment? Maybe not moral judgment, but goes against your better
maybe
judgment.
Your better judgment.
Or makes you sacrifice right. something, or makes you, you know, or you just don't want to do something, but you know is really better for the kids.
Like going to your kids, you know, soccer game and football practice every single day. You may not want to be there. I know I don't, but you still do it.
Or you working late night because you have to go see
exactly.
a performance for your son the next day. You got to work for 4 or 5 hours. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of sacrifice. Or you sacrifice money. Like, oh, you know what? I want to buy this for my child, but I can't buy this for myself. So, you know, we make sacrifices all the time for the greater good. The greater good is being a parent.
Yep.
And sometimes it's like we understand that as parents, mm-hmm. but we don't understand that for our marriage.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem. You know, religion makes you understand that your marriage is the priority. Mm-hmm. Your family is the priority. You yep. know what I'm saying? You know, religion isn't, you know, they may dictate, you know, rules,
right.
you know, for you to do it. But at the end of the day, it still makes you understand that you're doing this for your family. Mm-hmm. Believe in me, believe in your family and grow. And that's, I think that's what's really great about religion in marriage.
In marriage. And I mean, I completely agree with that. Completely agree with everything you say. And I do think, I understand people shy away from talking about religion, you know, when they're dating or you know, and such, or even in marriage, but or starting out. But it's very important, right? You have to understand what that person believe in. Because mm-hmm. again, it tells you about that person. It tells you who that person is. So I think religion, you know, is something that needs to be discussed, because if it's not discussed, then yes, it will create a lot of tensions. Like growing up, you know, I will say, you know, yes, we were all Pentecostal, my dad, my mom, you know, in my entire family, all of them, but something happened when I was a teenager, you know, in our main church where, you know, there was a big scandal. It got divided. Half the church stayed with the current pastor. The other one left with the current, I'm sorry, half the church stayed with the new pastor, and the old, you know, half of it left with the current pastor who started another church. And so we were divided because my mom and the kids, 5 of us, went with the existing pastor to the new church. Well, my dad stayed with the old church. Mm. And so, you know, so every Sunday, you know, we would, you know, my dad will drive alone to his current church, and my mom and us will drive to the new church. But that didn't create any friction because, you know, it was just, I wanted to stay with this pastor. I believe in his, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what my mom and my dad's like, nope, I believe in this pastor. So, you know, but it didn't create tension in the house. There may be discussions here and there, but it was never arguments that really affected our household.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, when you meet somebody, just have that discussion on what they believe.
Yeah. You have to know what
their morals are. Mm-hmm. You know, because I mean, most people get it from religion, but yeah. you know, some people just aren't religious, but and, you should still find, yeah, and that's not a dean against them. Yeah. You find out what their beliefs are. What do they believe?
What do they believe?
You know what I'm saying? You're looking, if you're looking for marriage and kids, ask those questions. Like, what is your views on marriage and kids? You know what I'm saying? But even if they're the same religion as you, they still may not see it the way
you do. Yeah, they still have hardcore beliefs.
Yeah. So you should ask those questions. Like, okay, well, how do you believe? What do you, like, for example, and I know this is not religion, but I know it's from family. Mm-hmm. Like for me, when I was 18, my family kicked me out. Look, that kicked me out. Let me not be mean.
I was going to say, because my mama, your mama will call into the show.
Will,
like,
yeah, she will call. but it was encouraged that at 18, you do your thing. Mm-hmm. Either you're going to leave the house, go get a job, go to college, whatever. That was a belief, right? When we were together, you know, we got married, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, my wife is Haitian. And in Haitian households, you don't ever have to leave the house. You can leave. We're a grown man, grown woman. Come back, live with your parents.
We stay home forever. Exactly. Until we get married.
So me, my son, you know, he's 17 now. And when he was like 15, 16, I started to tell him, like, hey, when you're 18, boom. Because that's what I was told, right? So my wife was coming to me and say, baby, why are you saying that? I'm like, because when he's 18, he's a man, he got to go. No, that's not how it is, blah, 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 baby, blah, blah. And she talked to me about it. She said, baby, are they really prepared, especially in this society, blah, 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 and all that stuff. And, you know, in our Haitian household, we go back, blah, blah. And even though it wasn't a religious conversation, I understood that's where it comes from. You know what I'm saying? As far as, like, taking care of your own, take care of your family, the parents always being there, things like that. Like, you know, if you fall, we're there for you. You know what I'm saying? Those type of morals. And I didn't have that, you know, until we talked about it for a while. It wasn't even like an overnight conversation. It was a while till I was like, you know what? I guess our son's going to live with us for the rest of our lives.
He's not going to live with us.
And I accepted that fact. You know what I'm saying? But it's from those morals of taking care of the family, understanding that kids are not prepared at 18 anymore. Not like back in the days where, you know, you can leave at 18, go get a job, and rent wasn't as, you know, was it, you know, $4,000? You know what I'm saying? You know, when I was in college, I had an apartment for $300. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah.
You know, so times are different. And even with times being different, you know, kids are not what they're not prepared they're like not, they used to be. Life not is not what it was when we were younger or even before that. So you have to take that into account. So you have to be there for your kids. So and it changed. And I know it's not religion, but I know that's where the basis of that came from your family environment. Religion created a family environment for you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then that family created the parents taking care of their child. So even when you break it down, it is from religion and bringing families together that helped me to change my mindset where I'm like, okay, well, you know what? You're right. Not see him as a bum, like, oh, he's just gonna be living off forever.
No, no, but he's gonna have to go to college.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, he's gonna have to go college and work school. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. But we're not gonna kick him out because we understand he's not prepared. Mm-hmm. We know society, we love our child, we wanna give him the best fighting chance out there.
Yes.
And we know doing that is not gonna be the way. And that's from a religious background. You know what I'm saying? That it trickles, because sometimes it's not, things happen in your marriage that not directly, well, the Lord said keep your church. No, but it's a trickle down effect. Mm-hmm. The morals that you build in the church, the connections, the bonds trickle down to other things in your life. And you may not think, oh, that's not religion. That's just you making that decision. But when you backtrack to originally how that came forth for you to believe that, most of the times it comes from your religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing.
Exactly. It is a wonderful thing. And again, like I said, the people out there who believe, you know, a child's 18 is ready for the world, that's you, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up that way, you know. Like he said, we could stay home until we got married. Even when we get married, you still want you to stay home, you know, and build, you know, a whole complex and everything. And I mean, that's just, you know, that's just family. That's just the way that we, you know, things were rooted in us. So, yeah, I mean, I don't believe anybody's prepared.
Yeah, plus I was raised. I was raised in the Bronx, New York, in a different environment.
Yeah, you were totally
single parent household. Morals, life is different there. You know, even if you are religious,
life is different.
Life gears you in a certain way. So, you know, also those are factors as well. But we're just talking about religious, though. There's a lot of factors. You know, say, but at the end of the day, you know, you should meet somebody that has your same religious stance, moral stance,
same belief system.
Same belief system. And build from there, mm-hmm. because that's when that's to me the beginning stages of building a successful foundation for longevity for your marriage.
Yes. Yeah. And again, like I say, if you know, and we don't go to church on Sunday, so people can look at us and say, boy, they know, even though I grew up going to church Monday through Sunday, I'm not going to church Monday through Sunday. All right. Some days I go, a lot of days we don't go. I'm talking about Sundays. I may be them people that we go Easter. Christmas.
We the hypocrites. We go on Easter's, Christmas, the holidays. New Year's. but that doesn't mean that church is a house.
I want people to think just because someone don't go to church does not mean that they're not Christian or they're not, you know.
Per the Bible, any household with two or more people in my name is a church.
Yes.
So I mean, you know, we
can have church every Sunday.
Yeah, we follow the teachings.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, but that's what I'm saying. It comes down to your marriage.
Exactly.
What's good for you?
If you guys want to go to church every,
then do it.
Then do it.
But if you don't do it. As long as y'all agree on it and y'all have the foundation that is good for y'all, you're good.
Exactly.
All right.
That's a beautiful way to end.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we appreciate you as usual. You know, we are so thankful for everybody's comments.
Thank you, guys.
Paid attention to us. You know, we didn't know this would be, you know, where it is now, and we're growing, and we got so many things planned. You know, definitely thank you for picking up the book, yes, Men Are Meant to Be Broken. You know, our product lines, you know what I'm saying? We got the deliveries going out, mm-hmm. so we appreciate that. You know, also thank you for the Couple of Critics page.
Yes, thank you.
For supporting that.
Thank you.
Okay, and Black Men's Mental Health, thank you for supporting that all the time. Yeah. You're my fan base. Thank you for coming over here and watching this as well.
Yeah, you got to do more podcasts on Black
Men's Mental Health. I am.
That is coming. Helping
they're
so coming. Many people.
Wait, come on. They're coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. Like, literally, like, they lined up. I just dropped them, like, two. Okay, calm down.
Oh, I love that green hat. Oh, you look good. Dang.
You know, this is not about that, okay? Anyway, I do look good. Anyway, but we appreciate you. Until next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.